A musician with technical knowledge can play all the right notes. But one who cares enough to play from the heart gives music soul. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.
Welcome to the Roma Press Podcast with Jun Solano and Andy Mattioli.
Hello, everybody. Andy and I are back. It's another episode of the Roma Press Podcast. We hope that you are doing very well. It is a couple of days before the match against Udinese. Very quickly before we get into that, a big thank you to our newest patron over at Patreon, Andrew Padula. We appreciate your support along with our other wonderful patrons who allow us to continue what we do here. Andy, before we get into the match against Udinese though, James Palota may be gone, but he gave one last middle finger, kick to the groin, whatever metaphor you prefer to use. Mr. Palota had a little something under his sleeve in the form of sacking Gianluca Petrarchi, at least according to the Labor Court of Rome, sacking Gianluca Petrarchi without any justifiable cause. And he is going to walk away with the remaining, so he had 2 years left on his contract with Roma when he was sacked in June. He had 2 years remaining on the three-year deal that he signed when he initially arrived, illegally, and we can get into that part too, that Roma are essentially, you had to pay for him to arrive and now you're paying for him to leave, which in and of itself is absurd.
Yeah, and it's sometimes, you know, you think that the levels that this club takes you to with their off-pitch management stuff, you're like, every time something happens, you say, you know, it just can't get more ridiculous than this. And obviously then you get the headline that hey, Petrarchi has won so far, and it's basically Petrarchi won, Roma zero. Right. I have to really, I try to imagine what it feels like to be the Friedkins right now. They've witnessed everything. Like, they've in their time at Roma, they've been at Roma what, like 4 months, 4.5 months, something like that, maybe a bit longer. They've seen stuff that a lot of football owners don't see in their lifetimes.
No.
So this is just, you know, just another cherry of the countless cherries on top of a big fat cake.
It's absolutely incredible. And again, that's notwithstanding all of the trouble that Roma had to go through just to get Petrarchi to arrive at the club.
Two youngsters, wasn't it? Two Primavera players.
Two young players. And the most hilarious thing about it all is him being intercepted at Fiumicino, knowing he's caught after he goes to have discussions with Paolo Fonseca to bring him to the club. Only at Roma. That it's just when you think you've seen it all.
But is this done? Is this for mere mortals who don't know or don't understand how these proceedings work? This isn't the end, right? Or is this?
I believe Roma can and will appeal. I mean, if we're just considering now, obviously the sporting court is significantly different than the labor court. I mean, what are we going on now for their appeal of Diawara? We're on month 6 now, is it?
Yep. And whenever you ask Biafra something, he says, we are waiting.
Yes.
We are waiting. So, I mean, if this isn't done by the end of this, and I could see this go on, like in typical Roma fashion, the outcome of that matter will be pronounced on the last day of the season, where you're not sure if you're gonna get into the top four, and
we're
then
in the Champions League on the line.
Imagine that. Imagine the Purgi. That would be the absolute, the highest form of Purgino in Roma's history.
Unbelievable. That would be, it goes beyond Borghino. I don't even know what you would call that. And it's amazing too. It's just funny how football can work sometimes. If you look at that missing point, yeah. I don't know about you, but it does improve the table quite a bit. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not that it's just a point. It's not that it's just a point, you know, to add to your tally, and it doesn't really make a difference. That point right now makes a hell of a lot of difference, and I can feel that everybody at Roma, everybody is waiting for that. And it's just unfortunate. It's unfortunate that this can take so much time. But again, we have to get used to it by now. It's like, I don't understand how we still can react. Like, where do we get our strength to react to these things? It should be just, you know, something that is automatically accepted. Oh, Roma lost another appeal. Okay, it makes sense.
What's happening this weekend? Are they getting back on track? Because now is essentially, I don't want to say it's the first domino that needs to fall, but this is really when the difficulty in Roma get into the grinder and the difficult part of their schedule. You have the Europa League beginning again. You have some really... from the league standpoint, it's not a terribly difficult schedule, but again... We talked about it in the previous episode. When you lose these bigger matches like you did last weekend against Juve, it puts more pressure on you in these smaller matches. So for the next two league matches, Roma have Udinese at home, and then they're away to Benevento. And then they're at home to Milan, and then away to Fiorentina. And then home to Genoa, away to Parma, home to Napoli. And that takes us through late March. So that just gives you an idea from a league standpoint. And then, of course, in between that, you have the two legs against Braga, the first one being away, the second one, of course, being in Rome. I have no idea what to expect now, because this is usually when with the schedule beginning again like this. Yes, Roma, to a certain degree, improved their depth in January. Overall, we talked about it before. I think we both agree that they did pretty good, but I really, really don't know, because now is when the depth gets tested to the highest degree. And I think now in February and over the next few weeks is when we're really going to see this team taken to its limits, right?
Yeah, and this is, you know, this the Udinese that we're gonna face is no pushover. They are finally learning to capitalize and play. Play the way they want to play. And Gotti is once again the one manager in the whole world who hates his own job. Is doing a phenomenal job with a squad that includes De Paul and then basically Musso
and
garbage.
Else, nine other guys.
Exactly. So the one manager that hates his job is doing a wonderful job of keeping that job alive. And then you have Benevento, who are, you know, again, not a pushover team. It's a team that is really exceeding expectations. So it's true. We have to, as we're recording this, Pedro just released some very motivating words of wisdom of we can win the Europa League. So if I was a betting man, I would bet on Roma crashing out of the Europa League.
Did he not learn after speaking before the match against Napoli?
Unbelievable. And then I love how...
When he talked about the Scudetto.
Yeah, and I love how some of the outlets reporting his words are using a picture from the Derby, which is arguably one of the worst performances you're going to see from Pedro. This is the moment where El Shaarawy, can he be useful? This is when we find out the answer to that question. And Brian Reynolds got reintegrated into the team. Today was his first training with the team. So that's something to keep an eye on. But this is the moment where we have to find out, can Pedro play consistent minutes and quality minutes? Can he be an additional contributor to the team, especially in the Europa League? I expect him to play a bigger part in the Europa League campaign. It's it is. These are the moments, and probably one of the more encouraging things is that, you know, the teams that are there up high on, you know, the first top six teams are also facing very difficult schedules. And I don't want to be in Napoli's shoes. I don't want to be in Inter's shoes. Those are teams that are really looking at a tough, tough schedule. And so there is no reason or no excuse to let up. It's just a matter, can Roma play consistently with enough pressure, with enough quality to win these games? And can they be lucky? Can they be lucky injury wise? Because that is, to me, the biggest concern. Because every time it's been like that, you know, you'd see Diawara get on a roll and become really a monumental piece to the team, and then he'd go down and miss 2 months. You'd see Pellegrini having the time of his life, then going down, and you're out for a month or two. Zaniolo, same thing. It's happened again and again, like a lot of things that happen again and again at Roma. And this is really the moment where the team will have to just learn to play even more consistently with even more quality. And I think the Europa League, you know, can be a big boost. So to me, that can be a campaign that can either determine if you come out of it defeated, deflated, or if you can make progress. That I think that could really, you know, give you a boost in the Italian league. And it's tough because, again, the very few teams this year are pushover teams, and it seems like halfway through the season a lot more teams have a grasp on what they can do well, and Udinese was one of the teams that just couldn't get the job done in the opening months through the season. But right now they're on a roll and they're dangerous.
Yeah, so I'm glad you brought up Diawara, because I think this sort of leads to the conversation of, this is where guys who seemed completely out of it, done, dusted, no more chances at the club. I feel like there are a couple of names that we're really going to know now. You know, this is sort of like the last chance, what's it called? The last chance saloon, right? Where it's now or never for you. It's either happening, you're either going to prove it now, or if you don't,
right,
your odds of remaining here, very unlikely. And I feel like we've gotten to that point with a couple of names, one of which you already mentioned, Diawara. I feel like we might be there with Carlos Perez, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting, because the weird part is you're going to need them. They haven't been counted on really a whole lot up until this point of the season, but I feel like when you look at the calendar and when you look at Roma from top to bottom, again, and even now, I mean, we haven't even considered, Andy, do we want to talk about, with Chris Smalling being out, so Kumbula, he goes into defense, the prospect of Juan Jesus playing sometime in the next month, month and a half, or Fazio?
No. Please, no.
This is going to happen, isn't it?
No, I can't. No. No, please don't. No, no, I want to. No, if I have to see Juan, I don't know what I'll do. Because that is really, because that's a defeat for Roma. When you have these guys that you've said no to them. You've said, listen, guys, you didn't want to go to the likes of Genoa. You didn't want to leave when you had the chance to. Now you're going to sit and you're not going to be part of the team. That's it. When you have to go to them and say, hey, Juan Jesus, do you feel like playing tonight? Because, you know, Kumbula is out. And I mean, that's really the most deflating part about all of this. You've had these parasites. Juan Jesus, I can't believe that he's sitting, like, he's gonna
his job is professional Instagrammer now.
Yeah, and he's gonna complete his 5 years at Roma. 5 years. You have so many players that can't stay on a team 5 years. This guy has managed to stay on a team for 5 years. Unbelievable. It's it's that. It is true. It is the moment for rejects, so-called rejects, or for players that are really underperforming. And Carlos Perez is truly a weird specimen because...
Very.
Because he came here and he seemed like he was the readiest of the bunch. He was the one who was the oldest, and the tricks in his bag were most evident. Like, you could see, oh, he can dribble. Oh, he, you know, he can score goals. And he did. And that goal against Benevento is still on my mind. Like, how do you go from that to nothing, to absolutely nothing? And so something there has to, you know, has to click. I mean, I cannot believe that you if you give consistent minutes to a guy like that, you say, okay, listen, have the Europa League to yourself. Just have some fun. Try to make it fun. I can't believe that he's not going to make it click. And we're not talking about a player, a retired player or close to retirement. We're not talking about Juan Jesus, whom we've seen. We know what he can do, and it's very limited. His skill set is very limited. With Carlos Perez, it's still a big question mark, and we're excited to know about if he can contribute to this team, because they desperately need that. And Diawara, can he extend those 10 minutes that he's been providing us for the past few months? Can he extend that to a full game of really of a performance that doesn't make you go, okay, he cannot play again as a starter? No, I want to see a Diawara that really embraces the challenge of leading this team in a campaign like the Europa League. I can understand he's not going to feel motivated in Coppa Italia against Spezia. But the Europa League, come on, it's your chance. And, you know, if for a guy like Diawara, maybe he's going to look for another team. Great. That's your chance to prove yourself that you still have it. And, again, I cannot stress this enough. This is a season where everybody is competing for everything. And, you see how Atalanta go from spanking one team to dropping points against a bottom team. But you see Napoli not being consistent, really losing it. You see Lazio have a terrible opening to the season, now finding their footing. And you see Inter going with consistent ups and downs. Everybody, it's all for the taking. And the individual pieces can make a difference. So this is where Roma really need to prove that they can have two teams. You know, we like to say that this team has two teams. They have a strong backups. Our backups haven't proven anything right now. Perhaps only Cristante has been the one able to really make a difference for the better. This is crunch time. You know, in the NBA, you say crunch time, and you say, okay, can G.R. Smith? I mean, you're a Cleveland fan. Did you expect G.R. Smith to be a contributing guy on a championship team? No. I mean, the guy was clubbing. He was losing his mind, and then he goes in and goes completely crazy in the finals, and he helps you win a championship. And those are the difference makers, the guys that wake up and say, okay, this is time to show up.
Welcome to Pro Tips for the Pros, brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads. In this series, we'll explore essential advice for professional contractors to deliver outstanding renovation results. Let's dive in. Before starting any renovation project, take the time to plan meticulously. Assess the customer's needs, budget, and timeline to ensure a smooth and successful renovation process. Thank you for joining us for this pro tip on planning thorough renovations. Stay tuned for more expert advice brought to you by Floor & Decor Bailey's Crossroads.
A lot of people tolerate ordinary. Ordinary bathrooms, kitchens, entryways. Well, not on your watch. If you're a pro, you've got a new partner in town. Floor & Decor. From tile to wood to stone, Floor & Decor has more styles and job lot quantities of Schluter, Mappe, Laetocrete, and other brands pros trust. Come see a whole new way to wow with Floor & Decor. Coming soon to Bailey's Crossroads.
All right, so building off of that, you mentioned Atalanta, Lazio, they're doing much better over the recent weeks. I'd be curious to hear your opinion on this because we see it debated quite often. European play is beginning again. This is where Roma's schedule, again, just to reiterate, really gets crowded, really gets busy, and it's going to be decisive. and you always have the back and forth. What do you prioritize? Is it the Coppa? Roma, obviously, don't have to worry about that anymore. Or do you prioritize European play? Or lastly, do you go the route of Lazio last season, where you essentially punt everything, you focus on the league, and that's it? Of course, I'm not saying that this is a decision that needs to be made internally by Roma now, but we're going to see the depth get tested in these upcoming fixtures here. And I guess I'm curious, for you, I don't think this is that controversial, but the priority is the league, right? And ensuring or trying your best to finish top four, yeah?
Yes, it should be, because long term, I mean, that's... I don't think anybody is as optimistic as Pedro is when it comes to our chances of winning the Europa League. And looking at his track record of when he says that, it's not looking good. I'm telling you, the betting guys, betting girls, go out there and do your thing, because Pedro has said the thing that then makes the whole thing click.
It's incredible.
It's always like that with Roma players. They always feel compelled to go for that thing. Like Alisson saying, we're up for the Scudetto, and then we go on a losing streak. All kinds of shit happening in recent years, and that's really... It seems like when you sign for a Roma on the contract, it says, I have to at some point say, either we're in for the Scudetto, or we're going to win the Coppa Italia or the Europa League. And then consistently, it doesn't happen. Anyway, yeah, it's... to tell you the truth, I'd feel more confident going into these two competitions, because that's what's left on the plate, with Dan Friedkin in goal. On crutches, oh, I would say on crutches.
I was going to say he did recently get knee surgery. So
So I still think that the crutches give him an advantage. Like when he, you know, it gives him a more extended reach. And seeing how Paulo Lopez is limited to when he, you know, when he jumps to one side or the other, I think that Dan Friedkin could do some proper damage on goal. But it's true. It's true, because this is, again, it's a season where it's all for the taking. And Roma, going into this season with a new ownership, know how crucial it is to get that Champions League spot, which, again, it's a big, big objective. And it's, you know, it's not close at all. It's right there, but it's also very far away from you. And Fonseca knows how important it is. I mean, his contract gets automatically renewed when he gets to four. So he's the first man to know that. So we are looking at this schedule, and you understand that there is a competition where you can really compete for something, and then there is a competition where, yes, theoretically you can compete for it, but realistically, we've done this mistake, and I don't want to say mistake, but we've made the decision to take this seriously a few times, and it's never really worked.
We have.
and you just know that Lotito and Lazio, past the group stages of the Champions League, they're gonna say, oh, if it happens, if we get through, great. If we don't, doesn't matter. We have the league to focus on, you know. And Atalanta will probably be saying the same thing, especially now that they're in the run for the Coppa Italia. They're in the final. So now then you have Inter. Inter have crashed out of the Champions League and the Coppa Italia. So they're, you know, this is their moment. Antonio Conte, if he doesn't deliver now, he's going to be coaching Chievo next season. At least that's what should happen. Him and Di Francesco should go off to Greece, or to Russia and you know, play in the likes of Siberia or Crete, and along with Gattuso, probably after his experience at Napoli. Gattuso also has worked in Crete, I believe, so he'll give them a proper tour. Anyway, we're looking at teams that will take the league seriously, I think, more than any other year. Okay, so everybody's feeling the pressure. Juve included. Juve, I think that this is, if they don't get that Scudetto with Pirlo, they're going to be exposed. And at least they have an excuse for the Champions League. At least they can say, you know, previous years with more experienced coaches, we couldn't get it. So why this year? This is the time for everybody to take advantage of this competition. And I just don't think Roma have enough to keep up with both competitions at play.
Yeah, for sure. And that's like the perfect segue, because we've been seeing it every single press conference of his now. This whole thing with Fonseca, I don't want to say that he's been dealt an unfair hand this season. Every club is having to deal with circumstances that are extraordinary. But it is a bit awkward that everybody, it's sort of like the elephant in the room. Pinto has reiterated everything you've been hearing about Allegri is crap. I'd never met with him. We're happy with Fonseca, blah, 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 blah. But what are your feelings on this entire contractual and managerial situation with Fonseca? Because again, if they finish top four, it doesn't really seem like there is much of a discussion. There is a clause within his contract that automatically triggers a one-year renewal. So it seems like as long as they finish top four, really there's not going to be much of a debate or discussion here. But what do you think about this situation? Because it does seem like it's sort of lingering and that there's not exact clarity. And I can understand why, if you're Fonseca, you would be frustrated by that. Because the obvious question here is, okay, so what if they weren't to hypothetically finish within the top four? Does that mean Fonseca is automatically gone?
Yeah, but you know, I have a hot take for this one. And the hot take is that during Pinto's recent press conference, I had the feeling that, and even in his opening press conference, I had the feeling that there was faith in Fonseca. I didn't perceive it as, you know, one of those numerous press conferences that you hear people give, and then, you know, the decision is made. The contrary decision to what has been said during the press conference is made the same evening. Like a lot of stuff that happens in Roma, a lot of decisions were made the same night or day that something was told officially by the club, like, oh, we're not going to sell this player, and then the next day this player is sold, or we're not going to sack this coach, and then the coach is sacked. I felt like there was, and also the idea of bringing somebody like Pinto, and then Pinto is now looking to bring in another Portuguese collaborator from Benfica.
Yes.
As per Austini, I'm quoting Austini on here. I'm glad to see
someone cite a source. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm just saying that it feels like there is faith in Fonseca, and I thought from the start that, yes, Roma made some good additions with Pedro, Kumbulla, finally Smalling, Mkhitaryan, you know, going in for another year, great. I thought that those were good additions, but I thought that I haven't seen this much pressure on a coach with this squad since probably Spalletti, even though Spalletti had a much better starting 11. Where it was, listen, compete for the Scudetto with this team. And Spalletti did that till the very end with that team that basically had 11 starters, and that was it.
And then you had
Gerson, you had Clément Grenier, you had Paredes, you had, I believe, Castan, who was sitting on the bench just as a cheerleader
figure.
I think that there are realistic expectations within the management and unrealistic expectations outside of Roma. This is just my gut feeling that I don't necessarily see Fonseca leaving by the end of the season just like that, like as a punishment for whatever, or, you know, bad relationship with anybody in the management, specifically because I think that that someone will and should probably leave very soon. It's just, I have that feeling. And I also think that it's, personally, I think it's the right thing to do. I know this is an example that people don't like to use, because whenever you mention Lazio, it becomes uncomfortable. But one of the few things that Lotito did that was right was having faith in Inzaghi. Yes. And you know, Inzaghi took over from Pioli, a team that really had no ambition at all, and for a number of years the ambition was, if we get lucky we might get Champions League, but we'll probably get Europa League. And then time and time again, season after season of disappointment, of getting that Europa League but really not being enough, they finally got Champions League football. And yes, you know, you might talk about penalties and this and that, but it paid off. And that was, you know, and obviously our ambitions shouldn't be the same. Yes, we have to be, you know, we have to think of trophies and all of that, but that doesn't happen unless you have faith. And I always see this hypocrisy in people and fans and media alike, that, oh, we, you know, what's the point of starting something if at the end of the season you're going to, you know, sell a player here, sack a manager there. And then they're the same ones who go and say, oh, but this is enough. After a season, I've seen enough of Fonseca. You know, I don't want to see him anymore. I don't want to, you know, this is enough. His time is up. I personally, I don't think so. And I think that it takes a lot of courage to do what Liverpool did with Klopp. Again, that's another example that is, you know, a lot of people love to use, but it's true. And what Lotito did with Inzaghi is have right. faith, and sometimes the magic can happen.
True or false, in the first meeting between Roma and Udinese this season, Davide Santon and Justin Kluivert took part in the match. Obviously true. I thought it was a joke, but then I'm on Getty Images right now, and there is actually a photo, too, of Robin Olsen at the Udinese Stadium, too.
Holy shit. Wow,
yes.
Right.
This feels like a lifetime ago. This was the 3rd of October.
That's crazy.
It is.
Wow, that's really, that took me out. I knew that Santon was playing because he had that run where he played against Milan, too. And then he got injured, and then that's the last we've seen of him. But Kluivert, Jesus, I mean, that, wow, that's true. Because Robin Olsen, they, like, left on the last day of the
he
transfer
did.
Market. Crazy.
There is also a photo of Mirko Antonucci warming up.
Probably my most hated player right now. I mean,
do tell. Why is that?
I'm just saying that is such a classic example of when the club gives in to the demands of having
and
faith.
And they just stick around.
Yeah, in a primavera, that almost happened with Riccardi, and now Riccardi is, it's always like that. It's always like, and with Antonucci, it's the same. That is a finished player that never really began, because he had great time at the Primavera, and then for some reason, fans and the club gave in into the demands of having a Primavera with the team, and then he went to Portugal and he went clubbing, and he cheated on a girl. And then came back.
And didn't he went on social, and after a bad loss, he did a TikTok video immediately after a loss.
Great, yes.
Which then resulted in him returning.
And this guy shared the locker room with De Rossi, who notoriously said, I'd bash the teeth in with a baseball bat to anybody that right now takes a photo after a loss or something. I mean, this guy... So you know where his career is going to end up. Okay, that says a lot. Wow, Mirko Antonucci, Jesus.
Are you accusing Roma supporters of trying to make a youngster who is obviously bad and not going anywhere, of holding on too tightly to certain young player because they think at some point they'll have, what do you call it? what do they call it? FOMO, the fear of missing out if they get rid of him.
Yeah, that never happens. I'm actually seeing a lot of people asking for Sadiq to be back. If that happens,
because he pipped, how many goals was it? Like 20 in the
Serbian
Plumbers League.
No, I think it was the Serbian Farmers, and now he's doing it in the Spanish clubbers of the second division in Spain.
Oh, well.
So,
whew. Oh.
Yep. I cannot wait to see Riccardi play in the Thai league and Tuminello to be captain of an Australian team. That's going to be wonderful.
It reminds me of that saying from Mean Girls, was what is it? Stop trying to make fetch work. I remember fighting the fight. Stop trying to make Viviani work. Okay? Stop trying to make
Daniele Verde.
Was
Caprari.
That the worst thing that could have happened to him?
Yeah. Oh my God. Because that Roma. I mean, that at that moment, it was the same game that Leandro Paredes was playing, and everybody
was
like, "Oh,
wow,
this guy! It's unbelievable what happened. The people that we've seen. It's when you really think of it. It's you could basically write a book just about." Promising primavera players of Roma that really never blossomed.
There was a moment too, people were mad that we sold Nico Lopez and that Benassia deal. That was fun. I'm trying to think of some other good ones.
Yeah. It happens, and with Riccardi, I remember that substitutions that he made, and everybody was, the Roman spirit, you know, after captain, the next captain.
Oh,
and now this guy is probably, sitting on the bench in some second division team in Calabria, munching on some peperoncino. that's really all you can ask for. It's perfect. It's perfect. It's just perfect.
It really is. All right. We will be back after the match against Udinese, everybody. Have a great weekend. Stay safe, and we will talk to you in a few days. Until then, ciao.
Ciao.
A coach who knows the game can teach their team how to improve. But one who genuinely cares about each player can inspire them to win. At Truist, we believe the same is true for banking. Because when you work with someone who knows a lot and cares even more, you're unstoppable. Truist, leaders in banking, unwavering in care. Start feeling unstoppable. Visit truist.com/care. Truist Bank, member FDIC, leading based on top 10 U.S. commercial bank.